Your Bibles to the book of Psalms. We began our study in the book of Psalms with an overview last week, and now we want to focus our attention on several of my favorite Psalms. And the first one, where the one we're going to, we looked at one last week, of course, and Psalm number one. But this week we want to look at probably my favorite. And it's Psalm 23. And we're going to spend several weeks in this psalm because I think there's so much truth that is hidden within the pages of it that I think it would be well for us to spend some time in concentrating on it. The message title this morning is God's Antidote for Worry. God's antidote for worry. You can see that poor fellow there in the picture. He's pretty well stressed out, isn't he? His mind is going in many, many different directions. And I'm sure at times in your life you sort of feel the same way. You're being pulled in this direction, you're being pulled in that direction, and you just wonder how things are all going to fall into place. Let me read to you several verses that bring this particular problem to the fore. As I read them, keep in mind that the verbs in every single one of these verses are a command. Every one. And would you agree with me that violating a command in Scripture is a sin? Do you agree? Here's a few of them. Psalm 41, verse 10. Maybe some of these you've memorized. You've taken the time to hide them within your heart, and if you haven't, I would encourage you to do so. Psalm 41, 10, here's the command, fear not. It's a command, for I am with you, I am your God, I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isn't that quite a promise? It's all there, isn't it, in that verse? Matthew 6, 34. Therefore, here's another command with the same sort of words there. Do not worry about tomorrow. Often do we worry what's going to take place tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that true? And then what about Luke 12:22? Do not worry about your life, what you're going to eat, or about your body, what you're going to wear, or what you're going to put on. And then Luke 21:9, when you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified. As a Christian, we do not need to be terrified. For these things must happen, the scripture says, first. But the end does not follow immediately. We know that these kind of things are going to occur in our world in which we live. And the last one, Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God will rule your hearts. So the common problem found in these verses is that age-old problem of worry. Although these verses tell us not to worry, a common sin among Christians is worry. The reason I think that is true is because it is also common to people who are not Christians, and we just get caught up with the rest of the world around us, and we tend to do the same thing. So this morning I want to share with you the biblical antidote to worry. It's an antidote that gets to the very heart of this particular problem that we all face with from time to time. And we find that antidote in Psalm 23, and we're only going to look at one verse this morning. It's verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It seems that when I hear these verses more often read, it is at a funeral or at a memorial service. I know that when I'm asked to lead one of these events, many a family asks me to read Psalm 23. They want that to be included within the service. The words are often printed on a funeral bulletin. But you know something, as we study this beloved psalm over the next few weeks, we're going to find that this is not a psalm that addresses only the subject of death. It's more importantly addresses the subject of life. It's the kind of abundant, fulfilled, joyful, worry-free life that can only be found in making Jesus our shepherd. It's interesting that out of all of the pictures that the psalmist David could have chosen to describe his relationship with God, he chose that of sheep and of shepherds. Certainly that was a familiar relationship for David. He had spent much of his youth as a shepherd boy, caring for his family's flocks. But here's what's interesting here in this psalm. This psalm is not written from the perspective of the shepherd. Instead, David imagines himself as one of the sheep. He describes here what it is like to be under the care of a very competent and very loving shepherd. We don't know exactly when David wrote Psalm 23. It seems more likely that it was written at some later point in his life when he was being pursued by his enemies. It was perhaps when Saul was searching for him to try and kill him, or maybe even when his own son Absalom had taken the throne by force and actually led an army against him. So there is no doubt in my mind that David had a lot he could have worried about. But as he looked back over his life, he recognized that God had cared for him in the same way that he had lovingly cared for his sheep earlier in life. So he begins the psalm with these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The first verse provides us with the theme of the entire psalm. The rest of the psalm describes various aspects of what it means to have the Lord as shepherd. This first verse also provides us with the antidote to worry, which we can summarize like this. If Jesus is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Do you believe that? If Jesus is my shepherd, I have everything I need. Before we look at the words of this first verse in detail, I would like to comment for a moment on the whole aspect of David presenting to us this concept of sheep and shepherds. Now, my guess is that most of you are like me. You haven't had a lot of personal experience that would help you to understand the nature of sheep and shepherds. So I did some research about this very topic. One great resource I have found to be so helpful is a book I would recommend that you purchase. It's entitled Philip Keller, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. He provides a lot of excellent insight into the meaning of this particular psalm. Here's a bit of background about the author. As a young man, Keller spent 8 years making his livelihood as a sheep owner and a rancher in East Africa. Through his experience, he gives us some tremendous insights into the nature and the relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. I'll be sharing some of that over the next few weeks. But here's an interesting point. The idea of God as shepherd and us as his sheep is actually found in many places throughout sacred scripture. That is why this picture is so appropriate. It is no accident that God has chosen to call us, those of us who are his followers, sheep. The behavior of sheep and human beings is similar in many ways. Let me share several examples. First one, our mass mind or our mob instinct are similar to that of sheep. You can tell when people get together in a mob, in a group, one person leads the group, and sometimes the person that's in the mob doesn't even know why they're in the mob, but they've just joined them because everyone else is doing it. And then the other is that sheep are very fearful and timid, and of course we tend to be that way as well. Also, our stubbornness and sometimes maybe our stupidity are similar to that of sheep. And lastly, number four, our perverse habits cause us to do some weird and strange things that maybe later on we totally regret having done. These are all parallels of profound importance as we think of our role as sheep. So with that picture in mind, let's look at this first verse in some detail. Let me first draw your attention to the word shepherd. Shepherd. Here's something you would not normally catch when you read this verse in our English language. You see, in Hebrew, the language David spoke, the word shepherd is actually a verb. Did you know that? It's a verb. And it's not a noun. The form of the Hebrew verb does cause it to operate as a verb noun. So our English translations that treat it as a noun are not inappropriate or not necessarily inaccurate at all, but a more literal translation would be something like this. The Lord is the one who is shepherding me. That's a better translation. The Lord is the one who is shepherding me. I like the way that is translated. It is because it reveals to me that the word shepherd here is more than just a title for God. The idea that God is the one who is shepherding me reveals this. He is actively involved in my life as a Christian. We need to remember that. He's actively involved in your life if you're a Christian. You will see how true that is in the coming weeks as we delve a little deeper into this psalm. For example, he feeds me. He provides rest and restoration for me. He protects me. He guides me. He corrects me when I need it, among all the other things that he does within my life. You see, God is not just my shepherd. He is shepherding me. He's shepherding you if you're a Christian. Perhaps the most important word in this entire psalm is that little two-letter word, my. You see, to David, the Lord is not just a shepherd or even the shepherd. He's David's personal shepherd. If you want to live a life that helps you to conquer worry, then it's not enough for Jesus just to be a shepherd or even the shepherd. It's not enough if he is your parents' shepherd or your close friend's shepherd. He must be your personal shepherd. So I'm going to share with you some very practical ways that you can make sure that the Lord is truly functioning in that capacity in your life. Before I do that, however, let's spend a moment looking at the last phrase in that verse 1. The words are these, I shall not want. The verb that David uses here for want means this, to be lacking or to be deficient. You see that without Jesus as your shepherd, your life will certainly be characterized by deficiencies. And the result is that you will experience loneliness, discouragement, disappointment, failure, hopelessness, confusion, chaos, without any satisfactory solution. Oh, maybe initially you might have a bit of it, but without the Lord as your shepherd, it will not be long-lasting. But on the other hand, if Jesus is your shepherd, he has promised that in him you will have everything that you need. Everything you need. Obviously, that does not mean that he will simply give you everything you want. No, that's not what it's saying. That would make him merely an idol, a god of your own making, a god who is not really close and personal. What he does instead is invite you to join him in his purposes and in his plans for your life. And in so doing, he will make clear the way he wants you to go. He will also provide whatever you're lacking so that you can accomplish what he desires to be fulfilled in and through your life. Isn't that wonderful? Or as I put it earlier, if Jesus is your shepherd, you'll have everything you need. And if you have everything you need to do whatever Jesus has called you to do, then what do you have to worry about? So obviously the only effective lasting antidote to worry is to make sure that Jesus is functioning as your shepherd. How do you do that? Let me suggest several ways. I want to encourage you to read Psalm 23 in its entirety at least once each week throughout this brief sermon series. That'll cover about 4 weeks. And as you do that this week, I want you to pay close attention to all the pronouns that are used here. If I counted them correctly, the pronouns me and my and I are used some 17 times in 113 verses. For words, I mean. The pronouns he or his are used 5 times in just the first 3 verses as it would relate to God. And then in verse 4, David changes from talking about God to talking to God. And from verse 4 through the end of the psalm, he uses the pronoun you and your 5 more times when referring to God. So it's very clear, isn't it? This is an intensely personal psalm. You see, it's not a psalm about religion. Psalm 23 is really a psalm about building a relationship with God. You see, religion can't help you to deal with your worry. Only a personal relationship with Jesus can do that. In other words, God does not have grandchildren. Think about that for a moment. You can never have a relationship with God based on someone else's relationship with him. It doesn't matter if your parents or your siblings or your friends or the people of this church or me as pastor, I have a personal relationship with Jesus. You have to personally choose to do that yourself. How do you do that? Well, there's only one way. First, you must admit that you're a sinner. The Bible makes that crystal clear, doesn't it? In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, No, not one. Everyone born on planet Earth was born with a sin nature. So you must come to the place of admitting you're a sinner. And if you don't, there is no hope of the Lord Jesus ever becoming your shepherd. It just won't happen. Number two, there needs to be a genuine repentance of sin. In other words, you need to be sorry for the sin that you have committed. And then you must realize that this is why Jesus came to this earth. Some 2,000 years ago, he became the perfect sacrifice for sin. How was he able to fulfill that role? During his life, while he walked here on this earth, he never sinned once. Never once. Thus, he is the only one who qualifies to pay the penalty for our sin, which is what he did when he died on the cruel cross of Calvary. But knowing that fact, you know, is not enough. There are many who realize that that is why Jesus came, but they failed to take that third step. And the third step is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He then becomes your shepherd. And then know what Jesus says about the kind of relationship that exists. In John 10:14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Notice what Jesus says here. Those who are his sheep know him. And the verb know that Jesus uses here is a verb that means to come to know by experience. So if you haven't taken that step, I encourage you to take that step today. And then the next step you need to take is to let God have control of your life. What does it mean to do that? Well, let's think about the sheep and shepherd relationship for a moment. In that relationship, the shepherd is in complete control, isn't he? He makes all the decisions about what is best for the sheep. As we'll see in the rest of the psalm, he is the one who must decide where the sheep eat and where they rest. He is the one who decides which path they will take. He is the one who watches over and protects them. And when he does that well, the sheep do not have to worry a bit. When facing an obstacle, the shepherd doesn't gather all the sheep together and have them vote on whether to go through that situation or to go around it. He unilaterally decides what is best for the sheep. Making Jesus my Lord means I give up control of my life. And I say, Jesus, I want you to call the shots. I trust him to determine which difficult situation that I need to go through for my own good and which ones I should bypass. So I need to come to the place, you see, of trusting him to determine what I need in my life. That's difficult sometimes because we sometimes think we have the right answer. Let me suggest two tests that you can use to help determine whether you have made Jesus truly Lord in your life. And here's the first one. When some crisis comes into your life, will you first panic or will you pray? Will you panic or pray? When your checkbook balance is down to zero and you have bills coming due, you can either run to the bank for a loan, or you can first of all stop and pray and then deal with the matter after that. When you experience some difficulties in your marriage, you can run to a divorce lawyer, or you can pray. If Jesus is your Lord, then prayer should be your first response, not your last resort. Here's the second test. Do you regularly spend time in God's holy written word? both on your own and with other people. If you really desire to make Jesus Lord of your life, then spending time in His Word will be the greatest joy, not a burdensome task. That's because the Bible is the primary instrument that Jesus uses to guide our lives. Well, the Holy Spirit dwells in our lives and guides us. Jesus also guides us as we spend time in prayer and also spend time in His Holy Word, because it is His Word that will give us clear guidance as to the direction we should take. You see, this is something that is very foundational. All worry is a control issue. Did you realize that? All worry is a control issue. Worry is nothing more than trying to control the uncontrollable. That is why giving up control of my life and putting Jesus in charge of everything in my life is the only true antidote for worry. Remember what I said, and I keep repeating this phrase because I trust it'll stick in your mind. If Jesus is my shepherd, I have absolutely everything I need. The third important step in letting God take control of my life is to be satisfied with His provision. David could write, "I shall not want," because his confidence was not in his own abilities and resources, but rather in those of the Good Shepherd. He understood that as the Good Shepherd, God has committed Himself to our highest welfare, and that He will provide us with everything we need to experience the kind of abundant, fulfilled life that He desires for us to achieve. And that obviously includes far more than just our material needs. It also includes emotional, and most importantly, our spiritual needs. Roughly 1,000 years after David wrote these words, the Apostle Paul expressed the same confidence in God's ability to supply his every need. Remember what he said in Philippians 4:19? "And my God shall supply every need of yours according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." How many of our needs will God meet according to this verse? That's right. Every one. He promises to meet every need. There is not one true need you have that God will not provide. And since that is true, the implication is that as a result, I need to be completely satisfied with the shepherd's management of my life and what he has provided for me. But if the truth were told, we don't always live like that, do we? Far too often we decide that what Jesus has provided maybe isn't just quite enough. Therefore, we stray from the path that he has set before us. As a result, life is not as fulfilling as we think it should be. Once again, let me share with you a simple test to see if you are really satisfied with the provision that the shepherd has already made in your life. When you pray, do you spend more time thanking God for what he has already provided or asking him for something that you want? If you recognize that every good thing you have comes from the Good Shepherd, and you find your satisfaction in that, then your natural reaction is going to be to acknowledge that and constantly give thanks to God for supplying your every need. On the other hand, if you're not satisfied with what the Shepherd has provided, you're going to view God as some sort of genie in the sky who is there to do your every bidding, and you will constantly be asking him for things that maybe he has no desire in giving to you. Or even worse, you may skip asking God for those things altogether and just go ahead and try and do them on your own. Obviously, I'm not in any way saying that we should not present a request to God in prayer. But what I'm saying is that if all we're doing is constantly asking God for what we don't have without first thanking Him for what He has provided, that's a pretty good indication that we're probably not satisfied with His provision in our life. Remember, if Jesus is my shepherd, I have everything I need. And when I have everything I need, then there's no need to worry about what I don't have. Remember that worry ends where faith in God begins. Remember that worry ends where faith in Almighty God begins. So what are you worried about this morning? Are you worried about your finances? Are you worried about some relationship? Are you worried about your job, your safety, or maybe something else? The good news for all of us this morning is that God has provided us with 100% effective antidote to our worries. He has promised that if we make Jesus our personal shepherd, we will have everything we need. Not want, but need. And when we have everything we need, there's no need to worry. The hymn writer pictures the reality of that truth in our closing hymn, hymn 616. He shares a variety of experiences where he found the Lord in a wonderful way fulfilled the role of shepherd in his life.